I had to photocopy the first couple of pages from Perek Zion, still on the photocopy, because the Malbim on the bottom is messed up. The Malbim starts two pages earlier than the beginning of the Perek. But if you turn to page 61, which is the third page of the handout, it's where Perek Ches begins. Vayikasher Zokin Shmuel. It came to pass when Shmuel became old. Vayasim is born of Shofton Israel. He made his children judges in Klal Yisrael. Vayisham Shem Beno HaBechor Yoel. His oldest son's name was Yoel. Vishem Mishneu, and the next one was Aviah, and they were Shoftim in Be'er Sheva. They were judges in the extreme southern city of Be'er Sheva. Let's just read Pasuk Gimel to round this out. V'lochu bana b'drachav, his children did not follow in his footsteps, in his pathways for their father Shmuel. Vayatu achrei bata, and they inclined after bribes. Bata actually means after prophets. Vayichu shochad, and they took bribes. Vayatu mishpat, and they distorted the judgment they judged in ways which are improper. So the Mepharshim point out a few things here. First of all, they had Yoel and Aviah at least establish their respective courts in different areas. The chesaron would not have been as great. The shortcoming would not have been as great because they would have retained some of the old flavor of Shmuel, who circulated from city to city. But they both settled in the extreme south, and they refused to circulate among the people, and therefore there was a major problem in that the judgment which had been taking place by Shmuel going around the circuit was no longer taking place. There's an interesting chazal here which says that Shmuel aged young because of Shaul. It says here, Vayikash Rezok and Shmuel never really got old. He died at the age of 52. But he became extremely old because of Shaul, which means that since Shaul was supposed to take over from him, there had to be an excuse for Shaul to take over, and that was that Shmuel was Shmuel said that he did not want Shaul to die in his lifetime. Because he didn't want to see his handiwork, so to speak, Shaul, die during his life. So therefore, there was a problem because that meant that Shmuel would have to die young. Yet, it would look like very degrading if Shmuel was to die at a young age. It would look like a great prophet would die young for no apparent reason. So therefore, they had to provide Shmuel with a kind of excuse by giving him old age at a young age. And therefore Hashem provided Shmuel with this facade of being very, very old at a young age. That's what Chazal say. So I have difficulty in saying that, basically because this whole episode here with Shmuel becoming old is taking place before Shaul comes on the scene altogether. So therefore it's hard to say that the old age was brought about because of some future thing which Shmuel already knew about now in advance of his anointing Shaul to be king. So it's a little bit difficult. In any event, for whatever reason, we're at the second page, where Perek Ches starts, the third page of the handout, actually, page 61. So in any event, for whatever reason, Shmuel became old at a young age, relatively young, as I said, perhaps because of his children, and that's reflected in the pasuk. Now, Chazal say that although the sons of Shmuel are very, very much maligned here in pasuk Gimel, that they didn't actually sin, but rather, if you take a look in Rashi, Perek Ches pasuk Gimel, Vayatu Heim Atzmam, they themselves inclined after prophets via two davar acher, and they inclined something else, which is dino mishpat, the judgment. That the children of Shmuel did not sin, but they did not follow in their father Shmuel's footsteps. Shemachaseh used to go circulate among all the places in Klal Yisrael to shoftan and judge people barren in their cities. They didn't do this. Why not? In order that their Moshim, their court stenographers and secretaries and policemen and all those people should get a lot of profits. In other words, if they went from place to place, they couldn't have a full-time staff, and they couldn't keep those people employed. So therefore, he stayed one place. They stayed one place in order to get a lot of reward, a lot of wages for their staff. The next page, Rashi adds a sofrim also for their scribes. So in any event, according to Chazal, the pasuk is saying a very, very damaging thing about Shmuel's children, but it doesn't really mean it in the literal sense, which is similar to what we saw by the children of Eli, where Eli's sons were criticized for having had relations with women, even though they really didn't. It was just a figure of speech. You know, so it's a similar concept, according to Chazal, that it's a figure of speech to say that they took bribes. They didn't really take bribes, but rather they allowed a situation to arise where they were they weren't fulfilling judgment to the proper extent, and therefore they are maligned as if they were taking bribes. People of that madrega should have known better than to do even what they did. The Malbim says in this pasuk that the sins progressed in severity, in that first they didn't follow Shmuel's path, then they started looking for profit, in other words, to get paid for their court cases and such like. Finally, avera gerer avera, they started taking bribes. And ultimately, after taking bribes, of course, the next step is that they ended up in Chicago, and they started distorting justice. Okay? Now, at this point, of course, we come to the next couple of psukim, are one of the most, perhaps the most important, what's the word, turning point in Jewish history. Next two psukim. Vayizkab Sukkot Zikne Yisrael. There came together, Pasuk Dalet, all the elders of Klal Yisrael, Vayavol Shmuel Ramosa. And they came to Shmuel to Ramah, which was, of course, Shmuel's town, where he used to stay when he wasn't doing the circuit. And they said to Shmuel, Vayom Reilov, they said to him, Hinei atasakanta, behold, you have become old, uvanecha lo huchu b'drachecha, and your children are not gone in your pathways. Atah, now, sima lanu melech l'shofteinu, put upon us a king to judge us, k'chol ha'goyim, like all the nations. Now, I'll read Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin together with this, but we'll go back and discuss in very great detail. Va'era davar b'nei Shmuel. This matter was very, very evil in the eyes of Shmuel. Ka'asher amru t'no lonu melech l'shofteinu, when they said, give us a king to judge us. Ha'ispalel Shmuel Hashem, and Shmuel davened to Hashem to ask what to do. Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, Hashem said to Shmuel, Shema b'kol ha'am, listen to the voice of the nation, v'chol asher yomer lecha, to all that they say to you. Ki lo eschol ma'asu, it's not you they rejected or repudiated. Ki osi ma'asu, rather they repudiated me, mimlo chaleim, that I should not be their king. One more pasuk. K'chol ma'asim asher osu, this is like all the deeds they have done. May Yom Alosio saw me Mitzrayim, from the day I took them out of Egypt, up out of Egypt, Vada Yom Azed, to this very day, Vayazvuni, they have left me constantly throughout Jewish history, Vayavdu Elohim Achirim, and they have worshipped foreign gods. Cain, so too, Hey Mosim, they are doing Gam Loch also to you in this episode. Yeah, I haven't said anything yet. Yes. No, it can't be parallel to the Meraglim. Cannot be, because God did provide them with a good king. Unlike by the Meraglim, where they got punished. But here they got good kings. Shaul was a good king, it's just he messed up. David was certainly a good king. So it can't be, you can't learn this completely parallel to the case of Meraglim. Because the Meraglim, they were just told, fine, you went to Meraglim, the results will be devastating, tough. But here Hashem actually gave them good kings. So there's something more involved here. I don't know. Could be. It's unlikely. I don't see it in the psukim. Yes.
It just seems like the rest is something more stable.
It seems that way, right? Not only that, there's a pasuk in Torah which says, If you're going to say it will come to pass when you enter Eretz Yisrael, you're going to say that I want to put upon myself a king like all the nations. So there's the same language there. Place upon yourself a king. Oh, it's a mitzvah. So why are Shmuel and Hashem getting, you know, all upset here? The question. It's a very big question. So, in order to attack this, we have to take this step by step. I want you to take a look on my notes. Start on the third page before the end. They're numbered 1, 2, 3. See my handwritten notes? Yeah. Okay. On Pasuk Dalet Hey. The Radak says that Avera was in the perceived diminution of Hashem's capacity to reign. In other words, that they didn't see that they could they were causing a chil Hashem by not accepting that Hashem could rule over them as king without a delegate down here below, some sort of or human king. That was a chil Hashem. He also brings the three opinions of Chazal as to the nature of the chait. Let's take a look at that Radak. If you take a look back on the page Pasuk Hey, in the second column on the Radak, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6 lines before the end of the column. See that? V'divrei Chazal, the line begins. V'divrei Chazal, machlokas. In the words of Chazal's machlokas, what exactly the sin is. Mehem amru, some said, lama nanshu, why are they punished? Al shikdima kichol hagoyim. They said first, kichol hagoyim. In other words, they wanted to have like all the nations of the world, even though it says there also in Tanakh, in Chumash, Asima alai melech kechol agoyim. Nonetheless, it doesn't say that I want to have a melech l'shoftenu kechol agoyim, to judge us like all the nations of the world, which Rashi brings down, if you see here, Pishramu l'shoftenu kechol agoyim, they want to have this king rule over them in the same way that kings rule over goyim. Not that they want a king just like goyim have kings, but rather that they want a king who will judge them just like the kings judge the goyim. So, some say that the problem is that they only want a king in order to worship Avodah Zarah. They want to be like all the so we want to be like all the nations, which they meant Avodah Zarah. Some they said was the kainim shabahem shalu kekogen shalu. The elders asked properly. All elders said we want a king to judge us, which is okay. The end of the pasuk, the last two words, kechol agoyim v'ameya arech bohem, the masses among them, kill kalu, they were the ones who were ruined or who said bad things. Shnei v'ainu gamanach kechol agoyim, they were the ones who say we want to be like all the goyim. In any event, as I said, Rashi Rabbag pick up on l'shoftenu kechol agoyim. However, the Rabbag also focuses on l'shoftenu. And the truth is, if you take a look at Tanakh itself, the Tanakh in Pasuk Vav seems quite clearly not to take issue with the words kechol agoyim. The emphasis of Chazal notwithstanding for a moment. He doesn't say, Shmuel is not upset that they said kechol agoyim. Shmuel is upset at kasher omutzno lonu melech l'shoftenu, that they said they want a king to judge them. So the issue seems to be something about a king judging. There's something bad in that. And of course that makes sense because we're going from the period of the judges to the period of the kings. And Shmuel obviously feels that there's something bad about having a king as a judge. Now, you know, you can learn Pashut's, the executive branch and the judicial branch can't be in the same hands, right? Need separation of powers. But that's not what Shmuel obviously was upset about. So, turn back to our notes here. The Rabag also wrote here, the Rabag also concentrates on the Shofteinu. A foreign king may have judicial powers, but ours must only utilize the Chukei HaTorah. In other words, a king cannot be a judge based on his own whims. He only can use the laws of the Torah. That's what the Rabag says. And he can't say, Melech l'shofteinu k'chor ha'goyim, because then implies that you want the king to judge independently. There's no such thing as judging independently. All judgment must be on the basis of Torah. All right, that's the Rabag. But so I want to bring down a couple of other interpretations which I like more. And one of them is from a sefer called Moriah, by Dr. Isaac Breuer, who was a very the grandson of Rav Sham Shapol Hirsch and a very good, big thinker around the between the wars. He was one of the major thinkers of German Judaism, and he wrote a remarkable sefer called Moria, which is basically his life's work. Well, actually, he wrote another sefer as well, even larger, but this one is remarkable that it lays down a foundation for a cohesive and comprehensive system of Jewish thought. I don't know of anything else like it, really, and of its type. And he goes through Jewish history explaining how his system and how his model of the Judaism and what Judaism is supposed to accomplish has been fulfilled and not fulfilled throughout Jewish history. All right, but be that as it may, I want to read this passage with you from Maria. It's a beautiful passage, and it's based on the Gemaras and Horios. Now, a little bit of background is that, as you know, most individuals, when they sin, bring a specific type of chatos. However, there are three unique cases in Torah where other individuals or entities bring chatos besides individuals. One of them is, besides common individuals, one of them is Sanhedrin. When Sanhedrin paskins a shaila, an initial ruling, and the congregation, most of the congregation of Israel, acts improperly on the basis of their ruling, the Sanhedrin brings the korban on behalf of the people. The people do not have to bring the korban, the Sanhedrin brings the korban, because they paskined wrong. When a Kohen Gadol sins, normally he brings a regular korban like everybody else. However, when he sins after paskining for himself, in other words, he paskined erroneously for himself and then sinned because he followed his erroneous psak, he brings a special korban. I don't remember the exact animals offhand, but he brings a special korban. And finally, a king, he always brings a different korban when he sins than a regular commoner. Psak is not an issue by him. By a Beis Din, they bring a different korban when they paskin something improperly. By a Kohen Gadol also, when he paskin properly. But for Beis Din, for all the rest of the Jews, they paskin. For a Kohen Gadol, it's a psak for himself. By a king, there's no concept of psak. The king brings a different korban because he is a king, no matter what kind of sin he sinned. So Dr. Breuer explains this very beautifully. Asher nasi echta, when a nasi sins, again, I have this all written on my handout here. Asher nasi echto v'asa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem elokav. When a nasi sins, that's a nasi, is a king, a prince. When he sins, a leader actually, and does one of the mitzvahs of Hashem, ashalote esena, which are forbidden to do, b'shgaga unintentionally v'Hashem, and he is guilty. Hashem elokav, Chazal say, who are we referring to? Misha'ena gabov el Hashem elokav, an individual has no superior above him, only God himself. In other words, that's how we know that this Nasi is a king, because he's somebody who, there's nobody between him and God in terms of hierarchy in the Jewish people. Zeu melech ha'umah, this is the king of the nation. Asher alav kasuv, concerning whom it said, l'man yilmad liyiras Hashem elokav, in order that he should learn to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the king. Hakohen Gadol is a beautiful paragraph. You have to pay attention here, though. Hakohen Gadol, the high priest, miatzei klapei Omar, represents vis-a-vis the nation, as a adam ha-mushlam, a perfect individual, hanivro, who was created b'tzelem, in the image of God, uvedmus, and in his form. Shigagaso, the unique korban on which he has, the unique sin on which he brings his own special korban, is where he sins, he shigagaso ro latzmo, is where he sins in improperly paskining for himself, this shigagas maaseyu, and subsequently following through acting improperly. Hasanhedrin, on the other hand, what's their role? Miatsekas ha'uma atzma represents the nation itself, kichud mishpati, as a legal unit. Shigagaso, the unique aver for which it brings a korban, he shigagaso raso is when the Sanhedrin paskins wrong, but shigagas maaseh ha'uma, the act, improper act, is committed by the people. Hamelech, whom yatsegas ha'uma, the king represents a nation, ba'asher hi megashemes, in that it fulfills es ha'ichud ha'mishpati, the legal unit which it represents, b'chaim ha'mashim shela, in its actual practical life. Shigaso, the unique sin for which he brings his karba, eino shigaso ra'klau, is not a sin which has connected at all with psak, El Shigas Maase, but a sin in simple deed. Ki ein la melech samchut sorah, because a king has no authority to rule, to paskin. That's not his job. Lo alav lifaresh ulivaeres ha'torah. It's not incumbent upon a king to explain and expound the Torah. Alav lios l'mafes. He is supposed to be a shining example, a beacon, b'mashmas ha'Torah, in the Torah's discipline. Who messed up in that? Shaul HaMelech. That's why he was deposed. V'im koiso avdei Hashem baruch hu. If all Jews are meant to be the servants of God, hey, that's their purpose. Hinei hua eved harishon. The job of the king is to be the first slave, the first servant, shall Hashem baruch hu, of God. Ashrei ador, therefore Chazal tell us, praiseworthy is the nation, to play on the word asher nasi echta. Ashrei ador, praiseworthy is generation, shanasi shalom mevi korban shigaso, in which the leader brings a korban on his sin. Im nasi shalom mevi korban, because if the leader brings a korban, tzarech ataloi marmau adono. Do you have to understand, do you have to question who the master of this master is? In other words, that there's Hashem, to which he's completely subservient. In the hands of the king, the nation places all of its strengths, all of its authority, so that he should protect the Torah nation from its enemies on the outside, in order to protect the Torah internally within the state. Now, this is a remarkable concept. There's a division of powers, although there's one power he doesn't deal with here, which he deals with in other places, which is the Navi. But let's leave the Navi out of this for the moment. There's the Kohen Gadol, the Sanhedrin, and the Melech. The Kohen Gadol represents Hashem to the nation. He's the Tzelem Elohim, the image of God, the Malach, right? Kohen Makom Malachim, Ki Sif Sei Kohen Yishmu Daz V'Tori V'Akshmi Piyu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzavakosu. He's called an angel of God. He represents the ideal, idealized human being who is a Tzelem Elohim, a walking image of sanctity of Kedusha. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol has to constantly be aware of how Hashem wants this to be done, in essence issuing directives to himself, paskening for himself, and therefore when he's considered to be missed his unique role, if he paskins for himself, he issues a directive to himself as to how to manifest the Ratzon Hashem, the will of God in this world, and that was an erroneous psak, he shouldn't have done it, and he followed through and did something based on that improperly. The Sanhedrin, they don't have that job. Sanhedrin, they are wise men, they're the wisest sages in Israel, but they have more of a legal role, the legislative and judicial role in the nation. And therefore, their purpose is to paskin shilas, not to be the representative of the Tzelem Elohim to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, their special carbon is brought when they have messed up in their role, which is that they should legislate for the people to do. When that goes awry, that's when they bring a carbon. Finally, the king has no role in an authority in Psak Halacha, has no role in authority in representing God to the people. Most kings, as a matter of fact, were not Nevi'im. And to the best of my recollection, there was no king who was Navi. They were never prophets. And they're forbidden to be Kohanim. That's not their job. Kings are not allowed to be Kohanim. Kings have to be involved in this world. They have to fight wars, they have to wage battles, they have to do all sorts of things. And since they have to be involved in this world, what we look at them is the symbol of the collective aspiration of Klal Yisrael to follow the will of God, which the Kohen Gadol represents as a human being, and the Sanhedrin legislates as a legislative and judicial body, and he fulfills and carries out as the first among all the servants, the foremost among the Avdei Hashem of Klal Yisrael. And that's why his korban is on messing up indeed without any question of psak. So when Klal Yisrael came to Shmuel, and they said to Shmuel, we want a melech to be a shofet, we want a king to be a judge, that's antithetical to the role of a king. As a matter of fact, the ideal judge is a Navi, a prophet, like Shmuel was. Because then the laws can be legislated and enacted by somebody who has divine connection and a divine guidance as to what to do. A king who's not going to be a Navi, who's going to be a commoner, just the highest of all the commoners, so to speak. So that person cannot be a shofet. A melech cannot be a shofet among Jews. In fact, let's go further. Ideally, in fact, the king is unnecessary in Am Yisrael. As Yishayahu HaNavi tells us, it's in Yishayahu Lamed Gimel Chav Beis, Ki Hashem Shofteinu, Hashem is our judge, Hashem Chokeinu, Hashem is our lawgiver, Hashem Alkeinu, Hashem is our king, Hu Yoshienu, he saves us. This whole idea of king is foreign to Judaism. Indeed, Reb Tzadok writes a remarkable thing. Take a look on the second page of my handout. It's a remarkable, really remarkable. The primary concept of kingship is called, both in the Torah and here, Mikra Kichol HaGoyim, Asher Yisrael says, it's called like all the Goyim. Kyushayach Rak LeGoyim. The concept of a king, of a monarchy, is a non-Jewish concept. Divnei Yisrael Ein La Melech El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael does not have a king, only Hashem. V'chein Amru. And so too they said, look at this, Rabbi Isai, Shoichet Toiv, it's a Medesh Antilim Chof Aleph, B'Moshiach, about Moshiach, the Yovo Rak L'Lame L'Umo Sa'olam. We don't need this Moshiach. Moshiach is not for us. Who's Moshiach for? For Goyim. Do we need Moshiach? No. We have a direct connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do we need Moshiach for? Moshiach is for Goyim. For no way love, Amim Rabin, that many nations will come up to Yerushalayim. Av Yisrael, Jews, they don't need Mashiach. Al Kain Ne'emar, same thing is true about kings. Al Kain Ne'emar, Son Tasim Alecha Melech. What does it mean, Son Tasim Alecha Melech? Literally, we always understand to mean, place upon yourself a king. So it's a tzaddik, yes, it means that, but not more than that. It's only supposed to be, this is an amazing statement, it's only supposed to be a symbolic monarchy. Like the Queen of England. How so? Deitzel B'nai Yisrael, Umrak Mashem Mehem Simim Ozo, they're only supposed to put him, Umekavli Malchuso Aleim, and accept his kingship upon themselves, Aderech Aseil Charav, like it says in Pirkei Avos, make for yourself a Rebbe, the Pirei Shabbat HaRav, the Bar Tzenura says, Afshein Rabbo Bemis. You have to have a Rebbe, even though he's not really a Rebbe. Why? For discipline purposes. So too, Veina Melucha Be'atzim. A king over Klal Yisrael. You know the famous line from Ben-Gurion, right? Ben-Gurion said to, I think it was to Truman, Truman was complaining to him about, I'm not sure if I got the joke right, but Truman was complaining to him about how hard it is to rule the United States. because they have, it's a country with 100 million people, 150 million people, now it's much more, of course. And Ben-Gurion said, you think that's hard? Think about how difficult it is to be a prime minister in a country of a million prime ministers. So that's really what Jews are. Each and every Jew is a melech. Mamlech is koneh v'goy kodosh. Everybody's a king, everybody's a kohen. That's not exactly what the pasuk means, but that's the import of the pasuk. Ve'ena melucha b'em etzem. He's not our king, really. Umitzad atzmo. And he's not our the king over us. El Yidei, Aumosolim is the king on the goyim. Our kings are meant to be kings on the goyim, not over us. Like Chazal say about David, Yodecha Chados, your hands are sharp, the Charutzos, and diligent, Liftos Olam, to redeem the world. The world, not us. Shlomo was the king on the entire world. David was the king in authority and in awe. Shlomo was the king with wisdom and with love. And his intent was to turn the world over, in other words, to turn all goyim into Ovdei Hashem, not to subjugate them. Like it will be in the world to come. Then I will turn the nations, the Gomer and the Safa Brua, that they all come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Tzadok says here, amazing thing, obviously, that a king, a Mashiach, these are not Jewish things. We don't need them. The truth is, if you think about it for a minute, in Torah Shemitzav, never does it promise a Mashiach. We know about Mashiach only from Nach. That's enough. It became one of the Yukim and Likrim. But we don't want Mashiach for ourselves. We don't need Mashiach. Who needs Mashiach? The Goyim need Mashiach. They need, it's almost a parameter of Nibe v'lo yada ma'nibe when the Goyim accepted upon themselves Yashka. So Taka, they realized that they needed a Mashiach. They chose the wrong one. But they realized that a Mashiach was meant for them, not for us. We don't need Mashiach. We have him to come and bring the world to its rectification because we can't go at it alone. We're not capable of doing it. We've muffed it up. But the concept of Mashiach is for them. And a melech is also, we don't need kings. Each and every Jew is his own king. And I'll explain that in a little bit greater detail. But the concept of king, Klal Yisrael, what do you need it for? Klal Shmuel said, you have a Navi, you have me, you have a Shoifet, you need a king. What are kings? Kings are leaders for Goyim. What do you need that for? You can have a direct pipeline to God. And so it goes even further. Not here, but somewhere else. So here, Likutei Ma'amarim on Gilma Beis. This is another remarkable Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok likens the present request to the Cheta Ego. You tried to say them before the Meraglim. You're close. It says like the Ego, which itself stemmed. What's the source of the Cheta Ego? It stemmed from the request of Bnei Yisrael to Moshe that he convey the Torah. Right? They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Daber HaTorah." Imanu v'nishma. Vai daber lukim imanu pen namus. I forget, I don't know if that's the exact quote from the pasuk. But Bnei Yisrael said, when they heard the first two dibros from Hashem, they said, it's too much, we can't take it. You tell us the dibros, not Hashem. Right? Says Reb Tzadok, that was the source of the Chet Ego. That you don't want to be on that high a madrega. That you're willing to settle for mediocrity. Because it's too challenging and too dangerous and too, frightening to be on the level of directly in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You ought to be Moser Nefesh for that. From that you also come to the Chet Ego, because what's the Chet Ego? What do they say? We need an intermediary. We can't be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. It's too high and mighty and removed. Yeah. Hashem said Etivo Asher Diberu because they weren't on that level. They weren't able to take it at that time. But the truth is that, yes, they weren't able to. However, the best madrega would have been that they were able to at that time. And it's something which I don't know if we have to accept about Reb Tzadok and other Bali Machshava, but even if it says somewhere in Chumash, let's say, that Hashem or a Navi, whatever, that Hashem condoned a certain behavior, nonetheless, it doesn't mean that it was right. But rather, Bnei Yisrael, according to their Madrega, that was the proper behavior for them at that time. And even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'yitem v'yol v'avam zel yiro si kol ha-yomim, it means, halavai, that this should be real yira, and not fake yira. In other words, it looks like it's real yira shamayim, and I wish that it would be real yira shamayim. But I know that there are certain times when yira is improper. When you can't be too afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to have that audacity. And it's kind of like, it's not black and white, it's gray. There are good elements and bad elements. And the Chumash might at that point be stressing the good element, but Rav Tzadok is identifying an underlying bad element, which later, became amplified in the Chet Ego and manifests itself over here as well. Again, that's his thesis. You don't have to accept it, but that's what he's saying. Now, here he continues. Let's read inside. Ki rotzon Hashem yitzbarach, the will of God, sheyehu malkom, that he should be their king. Man malchei rabbanan. And just like we say, who are the real kings? The rabbis. Wisdom is king. Hashem is king also, not because he rules over us with an iron fist. He can do that too. But rather because of the great connection to the source of all truth. And really Hashem wants that they shouldn't need a Rebbe and a teacher of Afla Moshe Rabbeinu. And they shouldn't even need Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Hashem nikra melame Torah l'am Yisrael, he's called the teacher of Torah to his nation Israel. Like it says, ki Hashem yitein chokma mipiv dasu tmuna. Hashem gives wisdom from his mouth comes. Hashem gives knowledge from his mouth comes wisdom and understanding. V'chanal, and as explained as he says there previously, that's pshat in the pasuk in the brach in Shmon Esrei. V'chanenu meitcha daika. Choneinu meitcha deya bina vaskel or nusach svayr. Choneinu meitcha chuma chuma bina vadas. We come to Kosh Baruch Hu and say, we don't want it from any intermediaries. We want it from you directly. Not like it was by Har Sinai. Rakhein bikshu manik umore derech. Klai Yisrael in the midbar asked for a leader and a teacher. You know what's remarkable about this? Just on the side before we go on. This is a chassid speaking. You know? A rebbe, no less. And what's he saying? He's saying to rebbes are a bad thing. We don't want rebbes. We want everybody to be united, unified directly with Hashem, without these intermediaries. It's a very anti-nominal chassidus, or anti-normative chassidus. Rakhein b'kshum v'ideze, and because of this, again, one of these shocking lines in Reb Tzadok, why do we need Yimos HaMashiach? Why do we need a Mashiach? Slightly different version than what he said before. Before he said Mashiach is only for the Goyim. Here he's saying, why do we need a Mashiach? Because we decided that we need to be taught. We are weak-willed. We don't have the drive to go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're afraid of that. And that's why Yimos HaMashiach are necessary. Otherwise, we go directly to Olam Haba. The Zohar have that, but Yimos HaMashiach Olam Haba. The difference between Yimos HaMashiach Olam Haba is Yimos HaMashiach. They're still the leaders, and Olam Haba, everybody's connected directly. V'lulei Kain, and if not for their statement of Daber HaTorah, Chaya Oz Tachlis HaShlemus, that would have been the ultimate in Shlemus and Klai Yisrael. And here another shocking punch. U'kumosh Amar Korach, like Korach said, remember what Korach said? Like I said, Kol Eidah Kulam Kedoshim, everybody's holy. And the truth is, Umaduati v'goymer, Umaduati snasu v'goymer, why are you uplifting yourself haughtily, he said to Moshe Aaron over the rest of the congregation. So it's a Tzadok, V'tavar MSD Be'er Lefish Sharsho. What he was saying was true from his perspective. What, it was a sheker? It was a lie? No, it's true. Why? The Shevet Levi lo chotu be'egel. The Levim, they weren't chote in the egel. What does that mean? Levim were the ones who responded to the call, Mila Hashem Elai. They were directly connected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't ask, they didn't look for intermediaries. And that was his perspective. We're all Kedoshim. We all have a direct connection. We don't need you as a Rebbe. And he was right as a Levi. But he was wrong for the rest of Klai Yisrael. The rest of Klai Yisrael already were at a Madrega where they needed an intermediary. They needed a Rebbe. Not him. The Korach Kolam Kaidu, and it's known that Korach includes or is you connects all the levim together. The yofet tan mitzido, and he was right from his perspective. The kolais nasus nefesh mi nefesh. All of the fact that one soul is higher than another soul, the itzdakus rabu more, and the necessity that there be a rebbe and a teacher whom he decides there only comes from the chet ego, which comes from the daber ator. Kanis cards is mentioned, and here too. They're asking for a melech l'shaftenu. Shmuel said, what do you need a melech for? You have me, I'm a Navi. I have a direct connection. You want a king who's not going to have a direct connection. And they said yes. And Hashem says to Shmuel, this is like Avodah Zarah. He says in Pasuk Ches, it was like Vayazvuni Vayavdu'alim Achirim. Where are they making an Avodah Zarah? It's not Avodah Zarah. You're the only one is a king. It's a mitzvah Torah to have a king. No! What really did they want? They want intermediaries. They don't want all this holiness. They don't want a Navi standing over them and rebuking them and telling them what to do and giving them the word of God. They want to be able to live their lives. They want to have a separation, a buffer between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They want to have a king. That's what they want to have in order to be separate, removed, in order that Olam Hazeh should be placed on its own without constantly looking to Olam Abar, to the Olam Elyon, for guidance. In similar fashion, the Michtam Leo writes, going on in my notes here, Armuzal Chazal said, Pnei Moshe k'pnei Chama. The face of Moshe was like the face of the sun. Pnei Yoshua, the face of Yoshua was like the face, k'pnei Levana was like the face of the moon. Vahinu, this means to say, Shemoshe Zocha, Moshe merited with Dargas Panim b'Panim, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, face to face. B'chinas Shimsha, like the sun. What does that mean? Sheperusho, this when the sun illuminates something, who should call Masha Masi Nichnas Miyada Libo. Anything he gets immediately enters. In other words, just like everything which receives the sunlight receives it directly, went immediately to Moshe's heart, Belishum Chatzitzos, without any barriers. Ava Yoshua. But Yoshua Hutzrach Lamo Lashivi Diosova Libo. Yoshua had to toil to put his knowledge into his heart. In other words, to uplift himself based on all the wisdom he got, it required effort on his part. Because he didn't receive things directly. Even though he was a Navi himself, but he didn't receive direct connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zui b'china siran, that's like the moon which gets reflected light. It's not the moon itself, which gives us reflected light, excuse me. It's not a direct light from the sun we get, but rather the light from the sun is direct. The light from the moon is an indirect reflection of something else. So too, the light Moshe Rabbeinu got was direct from Hashem. A sun illuminating. The light Yoshua got was something which was second hand almost. It required effort on his part. This is the internal work of Klai Yisrael, calling me Yoshua v'shofti. All the time of Yoshua and the judges. When people got even further away, they required a king. Hainu, that means ish shenivchar minavi, a person who was chosen by the Navi, v'nitan lo kovan malchus, and got the glory of kingship, to force the nation to subjugate themselves to Hashem. This is even a more external or lower level than the one before. By Moshe was a direct connection. By Yeshua was also a direct connection, which just required more work. There is no man between Yeshua and Hashem, and between the Klai Yisrael at the times of the Shoftim and Hashem, there was nobody between them. No person between. Now, at the time when they took a king, it meant they needed somebody who's going to be the shepherd, so to speak. The one who's going to shepherd them into Ratzon Hashem, as we learned from Dr. Breuer a few minutes ago, to be the first slave to bring them online, like the head sheep, to bring them online to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's something which they didn't need before, something which they didn't want before, something which was reflected a lower level. The need for somebody to be the buffer, to be the intermediary, to be the person to impose discipline from the outside. Now, all this deals with the melucha in a negative way. I want to deal with the melucha for a moment in a positive way. If you take a look here from the Shurei Das, if you take a look on the page, two pages before my handout begins. Not going to get to everything tonight. He says, on page 10. Anybody see that page 10? Looks like this. Where he says, L'zei kare melech. When a person is uplifted in the loftiness of his soul, al sivaso on his surroundings, but he also takif when he is firm, strong, bedato in his mind, amitz b'sichlo and courageous in his intellect, miblishin hagmin asiyah when he's not led by his environment, miblishinul choruach habami kotzad when he's not when he does not propelled or pushed by winds which come from all sides. Vizotzi b'emes avoda kashalom is a difficult work for an individual. Ki teva adam, the nature of man ulios mushpa mina chevra, is to be impressed or influenced by society. Kol ma shemuskam etzel ha'amon, anything which the masses take as being the norm, lizeti kona nafsha, normally a person will subject himself to that. Not only small-minded people, and she'amon, the people of the masses, she'elim shum yoaz ma'atzmis, who don't have any personal initiative, elafilo maskilim, even the wise men in the nation, and she'edas, and people of intellect, koshlem ma'od, it's very difficult for them, lishtachrer, to free themselves, mina de'os, from the perspective, from the mindset, vashkafos, and the perspectives, hashoros ba'olam, which reign in the world. Mamidimein, they set up ubonim and build as hashkafas on their perspective on the world, v'sichlam, and their mindset, ayisodos, on the foundations, umunachim, and the norms, amukubalim, which are accepted by olam in the world. It's very difficult for a person to find within himself is dato, his mindset, and his proper perspective, habilti mishua bedes, which is not subordinate, lachevra, to the environment of the sviva, and to the, to society and to environment. Shamatim shema gona tzadik rabbi sro, solantru zatzau, rabbi sro is to say, Shabira Mesma Moram Zal. He could explain their statement, Al Ikvaso de Meshicha, on our current situation, Pnea Dork and Pnea Caliph, the face of generations is like a face of a dog. Ksharoim Agolono Sas, when you see a wagon traveling, the Caliph Rutsavana and a dog running in front of it, if Sharodas Miyamanigo Muyaminog, you can't tell who's leading and who's being led. With Kora Kelavu Mani, it seems like the dog is leading, Q Alohu Raps the Funim, he's running in front. And the wagon is traveling behind him. When you reach a crossroads, the dog stands still and turns around to see which way the wagon is traveling. From this we know, the dog is not the leader, but it rather runs to the direction which the wagon points to. To be at the end of time in our generation. Pnei Ador, the leaders of the generation, Manhige Uma, the leaders of the nation. Lo Yanhigu is Dorumapidatam Sikhlam, they don't lead the nation based on their own intellect and wisdom. El Yizbuto Midas Pnei, they always turn around, Liros La'an Das Ador, noted to see to where the minds of the generation inclined, Shianigu, in order to lead it. Uvemes. And the truth is, as long as the person is in this material world, he has contact and transaction with society. If he can't free himself completely from this trait. Ach ima adam is not same mida gdola chaver. A person tries to uplift himself above society. Tapkifu b'datzo. He's firm in his mindset. Das Torah, the mindset of Torah. Baba mida shegil madregas kifus das mekoris. To the extent that he's reached strength in his mindset, original strength. Lashkif me aurushamon, to have a perspective above the heads of the masses. Ba'osu mida, to that extent, molech walachevra. He is the king over society. Mashpia Moshe. He influences and rules over it. And his environments will honor him. As long as he has, of course, together with this, the proper balance deals to deal pleasantly with people. Because if not that, if you're too obstinate about what you hold, you don't know how to deal with people properly, if you're going to make your friends angry, and they'll get irritated with you, with your difficult conduct. And even if that's true, a person has a loftiness in his soul, to get honored, if he goes over to one side too much, he's going to arouse anger. If he's not accepted by the people, but if he doesn't have the temperament and the conduct which is too difficult and pushes people away, everybody will see his greatness, they'll be subordinate before him, they will give him a crown of kingship. And if you turn a page, I'll go back to Yud, next page. He says, right after the three dots. Kvaravenu kama pami, we brought several times. Ladas, to know. Ki kol inyon animsa bo lamenu, anything which we find, any concept we find in this world, po, down below, shall show its roots, who b'shor shall be as in the root of the bria, umishtaushalu, and it cascades down, beribo rivavos olamos, in thousands upon thousands of worlds, givoim nisayim, from the loftiest of the lofty, adashir yil lamelenus, until it comes down to our mundane physical world. From nam shoresh idin amalucha, the root of the concept of kingship, who b'yisoda bria, is in the foundation of the world. After world, well, part of the reason God created the world is to be the Melech HaOlam, to be the king of the world, with all that means and all that connotes. V'shoshen, it's the source of the world. And from that source comes down to us. After coming through many refractions and reductions and diminutions, Inyan HaMalchus, the concept of kingship. She's Gashmusa, its proper fruition, Mishtamusa, and completion, Tia will be B'malchusam Yuedas, in the intended kingship, Lamisho, for the nation of Israel, be as ago when Mashiach comes. And we can also see this kingship now, to a certain extent, the Gibori Aruach, in the bold people, bold spirit, Hamoshe Mitzram, which rule over their Yetzahara. Avalifamim, but sometimes, Yikre, it'll happen, when the matter comes down to our world, Anu, our world here, B'pakshon, it meets up the concept of kingship, B'katnunius b'neodam, with the pettiness of human beings, Mishapichbo, it changes here. V'roi manufayim, we see by us, karikatura yuma, a terrible caricature, asher b'tochna, which in its content here, hefech, is the opposite. Miyoso inyan shemenish tashlo, than the concept from whence it came. Vasher enol abdus v'shiflus, which is really lowness and slavehood, not the right kind of slavehood. Vale amar achach mikaltam, and this the wise man said, Shlomo Melech, tachas sholosh ogzart, and three things the world gets upset. One of them is tachas evet kimloch, when a slave becomes king. Regil machshav, we normally understand pshat in this pasuk, ki tachas eved ki imloch, that when a slave becomes king, Nehemiah is talking about amishahoy eved, somebody was a slave, v'nasa melchim became a king. Avobemes, but the truth is eved ki imloch. What's the pshat, a slave who's a king? Zui mishu melech, there's somebody who's a king, uvetochishlo, but in his inner content, shu eved, he's a slave. And as a slave, he holds on to his kingship. Which subjugates him even more. And makes his toil greater. The true kingship, which is found in a great person, Amitalev, who's strong of heart, and has a strong mindset, Zosi Hamalchus Hakayemes Lahad, that's an eternal kingship. And only through such a kingship will the kingship come back to Klal Yisrael. So what he says is very simple. He says that the truth is that Malchus, we say Man Malchei Rabbanim, Reb Tzadok said, who are true kings? Rabbanim, the Talmidei Chachamim, not all ones obviously, but Talmidei Chachamim, because they are kings in the sense that they transcend society and environment, and even the Yetzer Hara, and they're able to withstand pressures. That's what it requires to be a true king, to focus on the truth and govern accordingly. But our kings don't have that capacity. You can look today in modern day America let's not take Jews, let's take Goyim. You look today in modern day America, so what determines the leadership? Public opinion polls. There's nothing else which determines. The kings are always, the leaders are always looking behind to see what the public wants. Truth is that there's, fundamentally in democracy, there is such a concept. So it's not a concept of monarchy, because theoretically in democracy, there's this pull in democracy. What exactly is a senator or representative supposed to do? Is he supposed to govern on the basis of his own wisdom, or on the basis of representing his public? The trend is more and more in modern day politics to see the elected representative as being simply that, to have to follow the public opinion of the people. But that's not what a melech is. And the malchus of the malchus which we try and cultivate is a malchus of being independent of what people think, and looking for truth, and using the truth, even if it's unpopular, as long as you can do it nicely. And he goes on to say in the Shir Das, Rabbi Yosef Leib, that entails, the point was to be mechanech the bachrim, that everybody should be a melech. That was part of the chinuch, to make everybody a king, in the sense that they would be focused on truth, and go out and teach that truth, and not be swayed by public opinion. So ideally that's what a king is. But that's not what Bnei Yisrael wanted. They wanted a king who should be like the kings of all the other goyim. Kechol goyim. Coming back to that statement, kechol goyim. What does it mean, kechol goyim? Just like other kings, they follow the people and they do what's popular in order to make sure that they remain kings. That's their ultimate goal. That's what Bnei Yisrael wanted. A king like every other king. You should deal with them as a regular king. We don't want kings like that. We want kings really who are Nevi'im. We'd rather have Nevi'im, because Nevi'im will tell Bnei Yisrael what the Ratzon Hashem is. Alright, so it's late. We'll have to stop here. We'll come back in Yirat Hashem next week. We haven't even started seeing the Malbim yet. There was another episode I wanted to see about the issue. And I want to discuss also next week, it's interesting, the Tziv and Chumash, which Yirat Hashem will quote, whether in fact there is room for democracy in Judaism, or whether Judaism must be based on monarchy.
In a very odd sense, always were so, and now we're here, comes to the end of his life, and he finds
them. Right, two sons are going, yes.
But here, according to this overview that you gave, one was replaced by a Navi.
Yeah.
But here, the Navi is
replaced by Melech, right. It's much worse, yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.